whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We didn't really flesh this out in the pre-show. You kind of just told me, hey, I think I got this idea for something. I kind of think I'm going to agree with you.
It's just a little bit of a be careful what you wish for. Because now, you know, tonight we got the big stage and the bright lights. And so I get excited to try to read everything and listen and take in everything. And immediately I see Tim Bontemps with basically what turned out to be an entire hit piece on why the Cavs stink on ESPN earlier today. And it goes through. Listen, he did the homework. He did everything he needed to do. He asked all sorts of scouts, which I always hate when they ask scouts, like, what do you think about this team? Because you can find a scout that will tell you just about anything that you want to hear. And so, like in this article, scouts and coaches pointed to the potential defensive limitations of the Mitchell-Garland backcourt, which teams will target more consistently across a 7-game playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into more and more things. I think they're a really good regular season team, but when the game slows down and is more targeted, I have some concerns, according to an assistant coach who faced the Cavs recently, which is very different than like what J.J. Redick said postgame. The same assistant coach said, can Donovan and Darius make a bunch of shots when that happens? That'll be the biggest question. And basically what it read as is like 3,000 words of, here's why the Cavs aren't built for regular season basketball, for postseason basketball, and have problems. And so it's just a reminder, when you ask for people to pay attention to you, when they do, you might not like what they have to say all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought when we complain about, man, they're not giving us enough attention, what that really means is they're not giving enough good attention. Like the Cavs, I mean, Darius has come out and said it. Evan, I kind of made fun of Evan a little bit for his, like, yeah, it's a national game, and it's, yeah, maybe give us some attention. I made fun of that, but you don't get to choose whether it's good or bad. And the truth is, like, I think, so, like, for me, if you're a Cavs fan and you're triggered by what Tim Bontemps is saying, yeah, people, I'll be honest with you, people around the NBA do not think the Cavs are championship contenders, and it doesn't have anything to do with the Boston Celtics.
There's not a Cavs fan in the world that will not be bothered by, like, this quote from one of the scouts again in this article. I think a lot of the questions have to do with if the Mobley numbers are real as far as the shooting. I don't think it is.
That one I don't get. Is it because he's only...
We haven't even questioned the Mobley numbers. Well, I think it's the idea that in the three-pointers a game he takes, he's shooting like 41%, which is a really high number. I think every NBA fan in the world can admit that Mobley probably not going to shoot 41% from three until the end of time. But it's like it's between the Donovan and Darius thing, between Mobley's numbers. Are they real? Are they not real?
But what's weird about the Mobley thing, just real quick, sorry,
yeah, go ahead. No, you're
just
fine.
Waylay you there, but it's three attempts per game. Like, what does he mean it's not real?
You'll have to ask Tim Bontemps and the scout, but like, this is what they do.
But here's the thing. The bigger picture question, which is, are the Cavs built for regular season basketball? I don't know that the Cavs themselves, and I'm not talking about the players, although maybe they're not asking themselves that. I don't know the Cavs organization is asking that. Everything the Cavs are putting out there is, man, we love our core four, we love our team, and really the only deal we could see ourselves making are like a 2-for-1 to get under the luxury tax. That's not a team that's signaling to you they're seriously chasing a championship, right?
Oh, I think that answer is different. I think you can be signaling to people you're serious about winning a title while also really trying to see if this core four in which you built is the team that can do it. I think we did like 7 different conversations within that question, I believe. But like, if they don't make a deal at the deadline, I don't think that means they're not serious at trying to win a title. I think they're trying to figure out what this team currently is and go from there.
A bulk of this team's been together for 5 years.
And last year, though, they blamed a lot of the injuries. This is now year three of Donovan.
But I think that's the point. Listen, I'm not hankering for them to break them up. But it doesn't take that long to figure out what you have. I mean, one of the reasons why you are 31-4, quite frankly, is that you've been playing together for 3 years, and so and you also finally have an offensive system that highlights what you're good at in the regular season.
No, we're in agreement, but the idea that, and this is what I think the Cavs would rely on, it's not what I'm relying on, but what the Cavs would rely on is you now have Atkinson in there, which is different than J.B. Bickerstaff, and that's you want to see that first and foremost, and then the Evan Mobley growth is a real thing, mixed in with the idea that Garland has been healthy and isn't having the season from hell. I think there's, And this might also come to the idea that I think sometimes Kobe Altman makes moves out of self-preservation. Mm-hmm. And if he can just tell you, I got better here, and now here's another way next season that I can get incrementally better, you keep your job for as long as you possibly can. I think that's part of the game as well. But I don't know that it's necessarily signaling that they're not serious about a title or trying to go for a title.
I mean, I think if you're still saying we're in the interest of staying under the luxury tax, I think that's one of the ways right now that an owner can show you, because the luxury tax has exploded to a point where, quite frankly, at some point they're going to chop this back. I don't even know it's going to last the whole CBA, the way that the luxury tax is put together.
Yeah, well, the penalties are just so severe right now. And so maybe they're thinking about making a real run next year or 2 years from now. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a sign. I think that's a signal.
The flexibility of that, I think it's just valuable in general.
Well, but I think my point is, I think what that scout wrote about how they're currently constructed is correct, which is...
Well, that was a lot of Donovan and Darius.
Yeah, which is... But again... Like, I think what drives me crazy about the NBA is people speak in the now as if it's the absolute of, well, this is just how it's going to be, as if there aren't things they could do to better prepare them. They don't have a guy that is truly playable, that can guard the wing consistently, that is 6'7" or bigger. So that's it. Like, by the way, that has been the case for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got a little touchy about the Kobe Altman, we got to find out what we have in these kids. It's like the same thing you had 3 years ago when you had the limitations on the wing. It's why people don't think you're a contender. But I'll be honest with you. I do think people are going to think the Bonteps thing is a hit piece. Like, because all they're going to hear is, well, the Cavs aren't good enough. Yeah, but in that case, those are valid concerns.
That is the takeaway. I don't know if I read the headline for you or not of the entire article.
Ooh, what is it?
You're not going to like it. No one listening is going to like it.
Mm.
The challenges are coming for the NBA best Cavaliers. Like, I mean, it's describing what everybody in the NBA actually thinks about the Cavs. And I don't know if many people are going to say it out loud tonight, because they'll probably look good and it'll be a fun game to watch. But that's what the NBA national media is telling you they think about the Cavs. Well, they think this team is not a serious NBA Finals contender.
Well, I mean, this game is on ESPN, so we're not going to hear from Chuck and Shaq on the matter. But, I mean, Chuck has said twice in the last 2 weeks that he would take the Sixers over the Cavs.
That's not fair, because everyone that watches that show and knows that show knows that he's more for the 76ers and the Suns. Like, it's comical to the degree that he does.
He didn't say he would take the Suns over the Thunder.
Was he asked about the Suns over the Thunder? Because if he was asked about it, he might have gone down that road.
They talk quite a bit. I don't know. I just think so. I think to your greater point, which is, do we really want the national media talking about the Cavs? No, we only want them talking about the Cavs if it's a nice thing.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that when you get the spotlight shown on you, is are you going to be okay with the idea that all they're going to try to do is poke holes with why this Cavs team is not like any other NBA champion that we've ever seen? Why this Cavs team, typically, they have nobody in the top 10 of scoring right now, which is very unique for somebody that you would consider an NBA Finals team. Like, there's a lot of things that this Cavs team don't check off when it comes to NBA Finals teams that we've seen historically.
So what's interesting about this is, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather the brutal honesty. And by the way, even if it's weighted, like some of the cynicism, and I'm going to continue to harp on this, some of the cynicism is they play in Cleveland. If this exact same team played in New York, it would be, they just got to get a wing and they're going to win the championship.
Which is why Thunder fans, I feel like we should all do some sort of, like, I don't know, hug at halftime, that we're all in the same camp, we're all in the same boat, because they feel the exact same way, I would imagine, that we do.
Yeah, but and here's the thing, they're going to get eaten up by a much more loaded Western Conference. They absolutely should trade for, like, a massive star now, but they're not going to. And they got a
million picks.
It is Sam Presti and self-preservation that we're talking about. With respect, Sam's a great GM.
It might be the best in the NBA.
But that's a situation where they've been wildly patient just to be more wildly patient and take a bunch of picks who are going to turn into Lou Dortz, who's a very nice role. You can only have so many Lou Dortz there, Sam. I say that with love and respect. But, I mean, but getting back to it, I'd rather that brutal honesty, even if the finger on the scale is weighted in favor of you're not real because you play in Cleveland instead of New York, I'd rather that than what I think is good for you.
Well, thank you for being here. Great point. I like it, because it feels like all we've gotten in the previous 3 months is a pat on the back and like, we're happy you're doing this. Way to go, slugger. Way to welcome yourself to the table. And we should be taken way more seriously than that.
You know, I honestly think the coverage tomorrow No matter who wins this game, it could be an all-time game, triple overtime. I mean, just the Donnybrook of all Donnybrooks, right? And I think the coverage will be why the Cavs won't win a title and why the Thunder won't win a title.
Usually,
like Cavs-Celtics, it's, Cavs beat the Celtics. What's wrong with the Celtics?
All right, but you're right, though. I'm not going to get irrationally angry like I did with the Tim Bontemps article earlier today. I'm not going to get mad at that because they wouldn't pick at you unless you actually had something to be picked at and you were good.
Well, and here's the thing. There's a multitude of reasons. We can get into a couple different reasons here in a few minutes. We're going to get to David in a second. 216-474-0092 if you guys want to join in. Do you actually want the national media to talk about the Cavs, like the Justin Termini thing? That pissed a lot of people off. I'm like, he's right. The Cavs could win 73 games this year.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. I think there would be some people that would pick them. Everyone won't pick them. Like, it's not going to be unanimous.
If they did, it would be somebody that would then be accused of just doing it for the clicks or doing it for the attention, and that's all that would be.
I don't know about that. But I think the bigger picture is people acted like Justin said the Cavs don't have a chance to win a championship. That's not what he said. He said, no matter what you do in the regular season, they're not going to take you seriously. That's the reality.
Honestly, until you show them, which I think is fair.
So we're in a spot where the Cavs have already advanced farther than I think a lot of people realize with regards to other teams. Every non-LeBron team that I've ever watched, and this, I'm not old enough to remember the discourse around the Richfield Cavaliers.
Sure.
But like I remember the Mike Fratello, end of the road, fat Sean Kemp, right before he got real fat and had 17 extra kids. Even Chris Mills, Bobby Phils, you know, they're on the periphery of the playoffs. They didn't talk about you at all. So just the fact that they're being overly critical, and some of it's very well placed, and some of it's some of it's biased, some of the other stuff. But like, you've already ascended in terms of the national discourse. More than any, higher than any other non-LeBron Cavs team I can remember in 30 years of watching this team where I wasn't 5 years old like the Mark Price, Brad Doherty team. So I do think like that is a way to think of it is,
okay,
name me the sixth seed who's got a chance to go ahead and make it a really interesting second round series. They don't talk like Orlando. They're not talking about Orlando having a serious. Now, again, Orlando's not doing. But if Orlando was 31-4, they're going to be in the same boat you are. But you have to get there first. The Browns are in the Cavs are in rarefied air. Just because they're
it was one article. It was like the beginning portion of it. It's not
But that's
in the previous week and a half. I have think people have been way more positive than anywhere close to negative.
I think everybody's pointing out. I think this is one of like three things that people are pointing out and saying the Cavs can't do it. David, real quick, welcome to the show, buddy.
Yes, how you doing today?
Very well. What you got, David, for us?
Good. Pretty much, they're going to win a lot of games, okay? And it's like I've been saying for the longest, we need to get some more length on that wing. We can't, you can't depend on Wade because he can't stay healthy. I'm tired of looking at the core starting at the three. It's bad enough that we got that small backcourt. So we need to make some type of move. You know what I mean? That's bottom line. I mean, we need to get all the way in the bed.
David, we appreciate you. I will say with the Dean Wade thing, Dean is incredibly important to what they do. When he's healthy, you look at a lot of the numbers, him on the court or off the court, it is significant. Mm-hmm. In a seven-game series, he can't be your best wing defender. He has to be like the second guy or the third guy you throw at people. Even Isaac, because of his size limitations, Isaac can't be the first guy that you throw out there on the wing and say, go stop Giannis, go stop this guy, go stop that. There's just too many natural limitations.
Who do you think stopping SGA tonight?
Probably Isaac if he's healthy. Isaac would probably, I'm assuming, because they're same size. Isaac 6'5", Shea is 6'6", right?
Do we have a status on Isaac for today's game yet?
I know that he was in shoot around, but I only know he was listed as questionable. Which, by the way, Kenny Atkinson should be speaking shortly, so we should get some clarity on that shortly. 216-474-0092. Do we actually want the national media talking about the Cavs? And two ways to look at why people are doubting the Cavaliers. One, I think, is more valid than the other. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Benchmark games don't mean what I think people think they do. It's not, if the Cavs win tonight, does that mean in a seven-game series they'd have a chance against OKC? No. And by the way, it doesn't really work that way It doesn't work that way in the NFL regular season, where you can carry more over from the latest Baltimore-Pittsburgh game to this one than you could from this game to the Cavs-Thunder in a hypothetical finals.
Bills have won the last five regular season games against the Chiefs.
But it's still not absolute, right? So, but with that being said, it's a where are you two teams right now? This is literally the hottest team in the NBA. So getting a win is a significant thing for the Cavaliers, even if it doesn't mean all of a sudden we should say they're a championship team.
Yeah, not every regular season game is treated the same. And it's not that I'm outcome dependent here. I'm not. I'm more about the idea that these are the closest looks to a postseason game that we'll get. But we'll see this team twice in 8 days. I mean, that's the other part of this, right? I'm supposed to put a lot of stock into this one. I'm supposed to get excited, but... And I am excited, but we're going to do this again in 8 days.
So we're just talking about the Termini audio and whether people really want, whether fans in Cleveland really want to hear what the national media has to say about your Cavaliers or whether you just want to hear nice things. I really do think they're the two biggest knocks. If you hear one of these two things from the Cavs, I think you really should listen to it. It's not being negative. I think this is realistic. One is the roster construction. And that falls back on in a half court game, which is what you're going to play, slower tempo in the playoffs. Can Darius and Donovan get it done together? They might be able to, but the easiest way to buttress that is a 6'8 wing that can shoot and defend, a la Cam Johnson, a la... I don't think you can get Brandon Ingram with the core four, but... Somebody like that.
There's a reason why, Nick, we had so many discussions. It almost was over the summer, it wasn't a will they break up the team. It's which part do you want them to break up? Do you want them to break up the two big men or do you want them to break up the two guards? And like everyone kind of had their own side and everyone kind of picked their own and then they just decided to do neither one of those.
And I think now what's interesting is I think the Cavs are more, well, do we break up the core four? Do we break up the next seven guys off the bench? Because I think it's going to be none. And I think that's the flaw. If you're committed to making it work with Darius, I'm cool. If we can keep these four dudes together, that makes me irrationally happy. But then you got to do something to boost. Then when I say boost, it's not about talent level getting better. It's about the fit and guys that can make those guys fit together better in a seven-game series.
Right. I mean, it's tough. You're never going to have the perfect team. You know, I think that's there's always going to be holes. And in an NBA roster, there's always going to be holes that we can pick apart. What I do like is that they are doing it a little bit different than at least like what Boston is doing. And it's fine. Boston seems like they got the blueprint and everything figured out. We'll see how it works out for them. But I like the idea of this Cavs team. If they can beat the Thunder, if they can go through the rest of the regular season, you at least have a lot more confidence going into the postseason than what you had last year.
So the first knock on the Cavs is roster construction. Totally fair. The second one, and I think it's a little tougher to determine whether it's fair, whether it's going to be accurate about going forward,
okay,
which is just the Cavs' playoff woes the two previous years and whether that should factor into our assessment of them this year with a different context as a head coach.
Yeah, and this is my big hang-up. I can't trust this team in the postseason based off of what I've seen in the previous 2 years. And that's going to be a hurdle I got to get over. But the only way to get over it is you got to show me that you can do it in the postseason. That's why I'm not outcome dependent of tonight against the Thunder. If they get blown out, maybe we have a different conversation. You know, if they blow the Thunder out and they completely show me that defense doesn't matter the way that I know it matters in the postseason when people really clamp down, okay, we're starting to build something. We can move with that. But it's just such a different game. And in that different game that is the postseason, Cavs last 2 years, I mean, they've crapped the bed in many ways. I mean, we talk about them winning a postseason series. Great, you took the Magic to seven games. Like that's not something we want to hang our hats on.
Yeah, and here's the thing for me this year about previous playoff woes. The difference is you have an offensive philosophy. But now the question is, can you adapt that to continue to work in the playoffs? And that goes back to the roster construction stuff. But I think from the regular season perspective, if they go 7-3-9. That shouldn't change your postseason expectations, right? Even if, like, let's say they get to 50-6.
It won't for us, but it will for a lot of people, Nick.
Well, okay, but because here's my thing. I think what happened last year, and I don't want to say I think what happened. We had high expectations. Two things happened. One, I mean, you struggled against Orlando. You eked out a win there. Two, you weren't healthy. I'm going to add a third thing, even though I said two things. And then the third thing is you ran into Boston in the second round of the playoffs, and you were not equipped to beat them last year in any way.
Right.
And so I think if you had maybe ran into them in the third round, I think you probably would have gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, so maybe if you're on the right side of the bracket.
But I think the expectation had been Eastern Conference Finals or bust mentality because of the expense of the Donovan trade and the weight of Donovan. Will he re-sign or not? And want to make sure you had the best chance to re-sign Donovan. Turns out it didn't matter. And the reason why I bring that up is for this year, when it comes to where this team is, I kind of look at it and I go, you know what? Like, it is Eastern Conference or bust, but like, if you're just going to run it back, I can't guarantee you got any tougher just because Kenny Atkinson is here.
See, I look at it a little bit different. I think the East is going to be tougher this year in the postseason. I think last year a lot of things went right as far as the postseason was concerned.
For Boston, for sure.
Well, think about it. It's how they ended up playing Indiana in the conference finals. You know, like, there's a lot that went right between the Embiid injury, between the Giannis injury, and even problems with the Knicks there as well. Like, there's a lot that went right. Knicks, by the way, playing fantastic basketball in the previous month or so. They're looking good again.
Till the last 3 days, or last 3 games, last 3 straight.
Yeah, but they've looked good in the past month. They won 13 straight preceding that. Like, they looked really good. They've turned it around. There's no denying that. And then the Bucks the same way. Bucks look much better than they did in the early parts of the season. Like, I think the East looks much better right now. If we started the playoffs tomorrow, they look much better than what it was last year in the playoffs. For sure it is.
I think it's so. Here's the funny thing, because I'm saying,
but yeah, are we bracket dependent? Is that what it is? If we get the right,
I think everybody in the East is right. Like, okay, not named Boston. Like, even if, like, if the Cavs are going to win a title this year,
this feels like so many years with the Bills and the Chiefs. It's like, when you meet up the Chiefs at the right time? Well, for the Bills, for a lot of years they didn't. That's why Josh Allen has won AFC title game appearance.
I think it's probably more likely that if you're going to win a championship this year, the first one this year specifically, you need to, somebody's got to knock Boston off, because I think you're going to have a better chance to beat whoever knocks Boston off than knocking Boston
off yourself.
Well, for
sure. I mean, that's a given.
If you could guarantee me that in the second round, Boston lost to Milwaukee. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I respect the hell out of Dame and Giannis. I would start to kind of think that maybe you actually have a chance to win a championship.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's why a lot of the conversations come with that caveat. Like, if Tatum goes down with an injury or something, you're in the driver's seat. I think that's why a lot of fans have such high expectations. But I just don't live with the idea that Tatum or Brown are just going to end up injured.
We're going for the 2019 Warriors. Let's get that going on.
Why not?
No Achilles though. We like Tatum and Brown, just not when they play us. 216-474-0092. Are the Cavs playoff woes holding them back in the eyes of fans? We do have bandwagons coming up, but We kind of ripped Mel Kiper earlier in the show for something he had to say about Shedeur Sanders to the Cleveland Browns, but he has a pretty interesting point about how Cleveland might not be in the playoffs this weekend. That doesn't mean this weekend is meaningless for the Browns. 92.3 The Fan.